Lesson number 7 is titled Pharaoh's Hardening Heart. Pharaoh's Hardening Heart. As we are here in Unit 2, this being the third lesson of Unit 2, just remember that we are discussing, talking about the preparation for the deliverance of God's people, the Israelites. Deliverance of God's people, Israelite. When we began this lesson back on the 29th of September, on the fifth Sunday, we dealt with chapter 5, Exodus chapter 5, let my people go. Let my people go. And then on last Sunday in Exodus chapter 7, the first plague, the very first plague of the 10 plagues, the very first plague was a plague of blood, a plague of blood. As Moses carries God's message to the Pharaoh, he announces these plagues based on the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And now today, we'll see in chapter 9, there are three plagues that God then now calls upon Egypt yet again. Three plagues, those three plagues being diseased livestock, the boils, and then suddenly the hail that comes down. The plagues, if you will, the plagues, not only were they intended to shame the gods of Egypt, but they were intended also to cause Pharaoh to let God's people go. Of course, in the plagues, one would expect that there will be some death that occurs, because following each subsequent plague, it was much harsher, worse, and more devastating than the previous plague. So as each plague occurred, the plagues became more severe and more destructive and more damaging. Let us, if you will, my sisters and brothers, as is our custom, stand and read our golden text for today, and then we'll go ahead and get into the lesson, our golden text. And if we're prepared, let us read together. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Exodus chapter 9, verse 34. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. So again, here we are. Exodus chapter 9. The printed text today is verses 27 through 35. And if I trust that you did in your own private devotional time, read the entire chapter. Because if you began at verse 1 and down through, as we begin today at verse number 27, then you will see those preceding three plagues. Plague number five, which was the livestock or disease. Plague number 6, the boils. And then now plague number 7, which is the hail, which we're discussing in the text today. Verses 27 through 35. Here it is. How many of us, not you but me, have made a promise to someone and did not keep it? Mm-hmm. Made a promise and didn't keep it. You'll be amazed and surprised how odd it is that statistics tell us that most of us break our promises with God before we break our promises with other people. Not you, but me. You ever been in a situation in your life? I've not always been good. I don't know about you. And your prayer probably went something like this. Lord, if you help me get out of this, I won't do this again. Lord, if you help me get out of this, I'm going to church next Sunday. Lord, if you help me get out of this, amen. And no sooner than those words came out of our mouths, we were right back doing exactly what we promised God we would not do again. I know that isn't you. That's my testimony. I'm just talking about me, because I've not always been good. Here it is. Pharaoh decides that he feels like he can bargain with God. He promises. He tells Moses, hey, yeah, talk to your God and tell him, please entreat him, go to him, pray to him. that if he stops the hail, you all can go. You can go. But he breaks his promise. Does he not? Here it is. Promises made to God in the midst of trying circumstances are often forgotten when the trial subsides. Anyone here ever experienced that? Let me share this with you. Have mercy, Lord. Exodus is really a fascinating and instructive look at how you and I, and that is, I should frame it this way, how unbelievers react when confronted with claims of the Lord upon their life. You know, I'm in problem. It's similar to what Chris in our General Assembly said on yesterday, when people, they're X this, X that, X this. They really believe that they are in control of their own lives. Anybody here believe that you're in control of your own life? You've answered well, because Psalm 24, verse 1 reads on this wise: the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Moreover, watch this, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Not fear him in the sense of spooky, but reverence God, honor God. Remember at the top, beginning in chapter 1 of Exodus, as Moses comes on the scene and we move into about chapter 3, chapter 4. Here's what God said. He said, let my people go that they might do what? Worship me. We were made to worship. Not let them go so they can just go do whatever it is they enjoy doing, but that they might recognize that what? I am the Lord. Remember, this battle between Pharaoh and God, it really isn't between Pharaoh and God. He'd already told Moses what? That Pharaoh would harden his heart. But it's to prove to Egypt and Pharaoh that those gods they worship are no match for God, because God is what? Sovereign. He created everything that's in the earth, and therefore he can do whatever he wishes with it, because it is his. So, here it is. Acts chapter 8. Amen. If you didn't read it, you ought to read it. Verses 18 through 24. Remember that fellow named Simon, as he observed Peter and John, the apostles, laying on of hands. What did he do? He says, give me, huh? And oh, by the way, he offered to pay Peter. Peter told him, no, you keep your money, because you really don't understand what you're asking. God is not to be toyed with and played with. Amen. We see it all throughout here as we've dealt with this lesson over the past several Sundays. I know somebody kind of like that right now, that they think that they can do anything they want to do, that they're bigger than God. There's four, No, there's five. There's five things. Five things the author says that we can glean from the text today. Number one, he wants us to look at the promise of Pharaoh. And put your name there. Verses 27 through 28. Look at the promise of your name. Number two, the promise of Moses. And literally, the promise of Moses demonstrates Moses' faithfulness, because it's not Moses' promise, it's Moses carrying God's message to Pharaoh. Amen. Number three, the devastation of crops. Remember, each subsequent plague was more devastating and severe than the previous plague. Then yet again, we see the faithfulness of Moses. That's number four. Number five, the hardening of Pharaoh. You ever been in a situation in your life where, particularly when dealing with other people, and suddenly because of the events as they are unfolding, you harden your heart against the individual? Not you, but me. Because here's what I'm thinking. Because you did this, I got to get you back. Got to get you back. And I'm just waiting. And while I'm waiting, my heart is being hardened. People make the grave mistake, believers, church folk, Christians, you and I, not you but me, something unsettling, unpleasant happens in the body of Christ. They harden their heart, they leave, and they don't come back. And then they say, those people, those church people. But really, they've hardened their heart against who? Has nothing to do with people. It's about your personal relationship. It's where are you in your walk? And oh, by the way, if I would evaluate the situation, I'd have to ask myself this question. What's my role in it? What's my role in it? Many of us want to escape, explain away, minimize, rationalize our behavior and only focus on the other person's behavior while yet hardening our heart. And you do know that over in Psalms chapter 66, about verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you don't want to do that. Don't be a Pharaoh. God may not send hail to fall on you. He may not cause the water in your home to turn to blood. He may not, if you have a pet, kill your dog, your cat. However, that which you thought you had, remember, God is in control. You ever notice sometimes you say, yeah, I got this going, that going, that going. All of a sudden, the air conditioning breaks. And no sooner than the air conditioning breaks, something happened to the car. And then that money you had, now what happens to it? And literally, here's what we don't do, not you but me. We never attach it to the mere fact that God is speaking to us through those circumstances. You want to know why? Not you but me, because I think I'm in control. Everything I'm doing has everything to do with my little finite mind, and in my best ability, my limited capacity, it still is no match for God. And Pharaoh didn't get the message. And so it is in our lives. I just read it. The conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. When God says what God says, you do well to obey. In fact, 1 Samuel chapter 16, about verse 23 says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Even Peter, he said, we'd rather obey God than man. Here are the facts. To see that Pharaoh seems to repent and become willing to free the Hebrews, but as soon as the plague of the thunder and hail is lifted, he hardens himself again and refuses to free them. Those are the facts. Here's the principle, which is most important to you and I, the principle. To understand that people who seem genuinely contrite about their sins can often become, watch this, recalcitrant again when their fear of judgment subsides. You know what contrition means, right? To have a contrite heart. And you know what recalcitrant means? You know what recalcitrant means? You're incorrigible. You have no intention of doing what's right. And if I can convince you, just the mere utterance of words, I promise, you generally are. You ever notice that with your children? And even when I was growing up, man, you try to escape punishment by. But the problem is that, guess what? There's a pattern there. Because if you do it now, you'll do it again. And you'll do it again. Right here. Here it is. Here it is. So that's the principle. Here's the application. Most important of all. To understand that when dealing with people's attitude toward their sins. No, let's put the word my sins in there. Because that's the problem. We spend too much time focusing on each other. Because we think we can fix others rather than help them up. We focus on where, have mercy, Lord. We focus on where they're not as opposed to where they are. Seek the Holy Spirit's discernment about the honesty of their contrition. That's all of us. Think about it. Every day in the media, those who are serving in public office and even in the corporate setting, just listen to what they say. It's hard to know where the truth is today in this society. It really is. We think we know what we really don't know. Because we have no clue what's going on behind the closed door. You do know that the Antichrist, when he comes, will be charismatic. And that's going to be what convinces others that he indeed is the Christ. Because they're going to fear, watch this, if you don't take the mark, thank you, Holy Spirit. If you don't take the mark, you can't buy. If you can't buy, you can't eat. Look at the fear. See, there's fear coming over you right now just in my saying that. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. He feared, that is, the Pharaoh, because he recognized, watch this, after the flax and the barley was destroyed, he said, whoa, time out. But the real key here is the rye that we need to eat. So let me make God a promise. Let me tell Moses to go entreat him. Tell him, I'm going to let you go. Because that's my lifeline. The rye hadn't yet come up. But the barley and the flax had. We probably handle that, right? We can handle that. But we got to eat. You do know, for the most part, each time there was a famine in the land, what did the children of Israel do? They always went where? Egypt. It was the most powerful nation in the world. he feared. And he used that as a way to bargain with God. Have mercy, Lord. Listen. Someone, you got your Bible? Verse 16 of Exodus chapter 9. If someone doesn't mind reading that passage. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16.
And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Mitchell. Hey, listen. Did you hear what God said? Did you hear what he said?
Amen.
He raised him up that he might show his power. God can take evil men to get your and my attention as believers in Christ.
Amen.
That's why when you consider what's happening in the United States today, he wouldn't be there if it weren't for what? God allowing it.
Amen.
That he might get our attention. We need not focus on him, but our trust is where? In God.
Yes.
We keep our focus on him. And as long as we keep our focus on him, he's going to take care of us. Thus, we understand now the reason why he would say, let my people go, thus they might come and what? Worship me. Amen. Amen for Deacon Collins. Man, it just,
Amen. Man,
my heart is, wow. Good to see you, man. Bless you, brother. Amen. Good to see you. The promise of Pharaoh. Please, ma'am or sir, if you would read verses 27, 28 as we go ahead and get into the text. Exodus chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. Amen. Now, isn't it interesting that Pharaoh would suggest, listen what he says. He says here, I have sinned, notice, this time. Well, wait a minute. Blood, frogs, lice, flies, and you just figured out you sinned. Isn't that how we do it? Not you, but me. And then watch this. And listen what he says. Here it is. Listen what he says. The what is what? And I and my people what? Are wicked. He's playing games. He's bargaining with God. He acknowledges his sin. He acknowledges that God is righteous. He says that he and his people are wicked, but he still wants to bargain with God. You do know that the hail was not the last plague. Have mercy, Lord. Here it is. It is foolish to make a commitment to God that you do not intend to keep. I don't even want you to make a commitment to me that you don't keep. In fact, I will tell you this right now. I struggle with people like that. I'd much rather, if I ask you something, and if you know that, guess what, you can't do it, it doesn't offend me, neither does it sever our relationship. Just tell me you can't do it. It becomes a problem when you say you can and I'm depending on you, trusting that you will do what you said you will do, and then you fail to do it. And then here's the killer. You play the avoidance game, and then if I do finally see you again, you try to explain it away. That's something I pride myself on. If I tell you, or you ask me, can I, will you, and I say yes, I assure you, you can take it to the bank. I was raised that way. All you have is your word. And you know what that equates to? Your integrity. That's all you really got. I heard someone say it like this: my life you may take, my integrity never. Have mercy, Lord. It is foolish to make a commitment to God that you do not intend to keep. Amen. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. So, look what he does here. Listen what he does. He entreats the Lord, and then parenthetically he says, because it's enough. We've suffered at the hands of these previous four plagues. It's enough. Then you bring down number five on me. By diseasing the livestock. Then you bring down number six on me with the boils. And now the hail. He says it's enough. So here's what he says. Look what he says. He says, so entreat the Lord that there what? Be no more mighty thunderings and hail. And here's look what he does right here. Here's the promise. And I will do what? And what? He implies that the freedom of the Hebrews is contingent upon God not sending any more plagues, stopping the hail, and he then will let the Hebrews go, the Israelites go. You do know that this plague of the hail was intended for the judgment against the gods of Egypt. It's fascinating. It certainly boggles my mind. How is it that someone can stand before a piece of wood, a stone, cement, whatever it is, that cannot talk? Have mercy, Lord. And not know and understand that there is an almighty, all-powerful, all-sovereign God who orchestrates everything on the planet, everything in the universe. So much so, to the nth degree, that everything operates succinctly and on time. So it is for our lives. You didn't get to pick and choose when you were born, and you don't get to pick and choose when you leave. And everything about our lives, God has the timetable on it. Amen. Everything that's up ahead of you, ahead of us, God already knows it. We just have to get in agreement with God and obey him. So, my sisters and brothers, we talked about the promise of Pharaoh. So now let's look at the promise of Moses as he now responds to Pharaoh's promise. Amen. Please, ma'am or sir, the next two verses, 29 and 30. Please. All right. All right. Did you hear that? So Moses says to him, he says, as soon as I'm going out of the city. Now, obviously, Moses certainly, given what was happening, wanted to make sure that he was out of harm's way. And Moses says, as soon as I'm out of the city, I will spread my arms. It is said that in those days that was a form of prayer unto God, that he would then stop to hail. But I like what Moses said to Pharaoh. He says, this is such that you may what? Know how that the what? The earth is the Lord's. Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And inasmuch that you need to know this, Pharaoh, you do well to keep your promise. And so it is with you and I. It's not like making a promise to me and not keeping it, because guess what? I can't punish you. It may sever the relationship if I choose to allow it. But there's nothing I can do in the way of consequences that you should incur as a result of not keeping your promise. There's nothing I can do. I can discuss it with you. Hey, man, why didn't you do what you said you were going to do? You see what happens to the relationship? And these are things that we deal with in everyday life. And we never stop to take the time out to realize that. Raising my son, I always told my son, boy, don't you ever make somebody a promise that you don't keep. Just think about it, how it affects us. It doesn't make you feel good when someone promises you something and they don't do it. So how do you think God feels when you and I make a promise to him and we fail to keep it? Why? Because God, the Bible says, is a man that he cannot lie. And he keeps his promises. He has never failed. Has God ever left anybody in here? His word says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Amen. Watch this. So Moses says to him, Moses says, you know what? And here's where that discernment comes in as a part of the application for you and I. We have to have a discerning spirit about the intention of the promise that the person is making to us. So Moses says this, he says in verse 30, but as for thee and thy servants, what did he tell them? I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. I already know it. And here's how we know when someone is not going to keep their promise. It's not the first time they've done it. it's not the first time they've done it. Have mercy, Lord. Amen. I got some folk in my family like that, man. They just have mercy, Lord. Can I get this from you? Yeah, here it is. I'll get it back to you. But now you don't. Okay. All right. Mm. Here it is. If we try to bargain with God, he may grant our request, but I like this one right here. He will hold us accountable. Amen. And all of us have to be accountable to ourselves. The Bible over in Romans about chapter 14, 13, 14 or so says that everyone will stand before the judgment of God and give an account of themselves. Amen. I already shared with you. I won't, I don't have a means of judging you or punishing you based on your lack of integrity, having promised me something and then you fail to make good on the promise. But God does. He's God. And watch this. Here it is right here. God cannot be deceived by insincere repentance. Amen. You may get me. But you can't get away from God. Why? Because he's omniscient. Somewhere in the Bible, it reads on this wise. Man looks at the outer, but God looks at the heart. Over in Psalms 119, it says, wherein shall a young man cleanse his way? By attending according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I what? Might not sin against thee. God knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. Even before we think them. So you can promise me and know that you don't mean it. That's why it's important. The Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it flows what? The issues of life. And whatever you think generally is going to determine your actions. That's Moses' promise to Pharaoh after Pharaoh makes an insincere promise. He's really not contrite. He's literally recalcitrant. It says so here in the Bible. It says that he hardened his heart even more. So watch this. Watch this. Watch this. The devastation of crops. Someone please, ma'am, or sir, verses 31 and 32. Did you hear that? So now, look. So there it is in verse 31 says, the barley, the flax, those were smitten because they were in the ear. So imagine. Okay. When I grew up, mama planted all kinds of crops, beans, corn, you know, all that sort of stuff, okra, tomatoes and all that stuff. You know, and in Florida, you know, rainstorm, we get hurricanes, hail, nothing like coming out after the storm and then go out and stand up in the field and the hail has torn all the corn up. Anyone ever witnessed, experience anything like that? So I can imagine in my sanctified mind what Pharaoh is experiencing here. He notes that, wow, the flax. Gone, because the hail done tore it all up. The barley, torn all up. Can't recover from that, can you? Nothing you do is a loss. And then he thinks in his mind, he says, well, that's okay, because I know I need to eat. The rye and wheat hadn't come up, still in the ground. But if this continues, we're really in bad shape. So that's his focus. So see, he has an ulterior motive. The intent is never to let the Hebrews go. That's called deception. It's called deceit. Disingenuous. There are other adjectives, I just don't have enough time to go through them all. Unfortunately, he does not understand who the God of Moses is. Even though he says, the Lord is righteous, your Lord is righteous, I've sinned, and I and my people are wicked. But I still want to play this little game with him, though. I still want to play this game. So here it is. Have mercy, Lord. You do know that God has all power over the forces of the earth. Amen. How is it that it can be raining cats and dogs right here, and over here, the sun is shining? Right. How is it that I experienced this? I know most of you have. If you ever served overseas, particularly in Europe, you can get four seasons in less than 5 minutes. Literally. How is it I climbed Mount Fuji when I was in Japan? Down here, beautiful. But as you go up higher and higher and higher, you experience myriads of changes in weather. You can start out down here and it's nice and pleasant, sunny, calm, and you dressed appropriately for the weather, and later to discover, as you make your way up, I made a mistake because you didn't have anything in your backpack. These things don't just happen, do they? God is in control. He knows when to send the rain. We look at him, we say, well, it's devastation. Why would God do that? Because he's God. That's the only answer I have for you. I've got nothing else. Because he's God. Do you not know or think that God is not aware that based on these catastrophic events that somebody's going to die? Of course he knows. Amen. But what is he speaking to and into our lives when we see these events occur? That's the real question. That's the fundamental question. So here it is. The devastation of the crops. And now, look what Moses now said. Let's read together verse number 33. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. Amen. So here it is. Here it is. And let us go ahead and conclude here with verses 34 and 35. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Now, look at that rascal. Look at him. Look at him. He's gambling with God. He's playing with God. He's toying with God. Notice what it says. We just read it. It says it right here. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and thunder were ceased, what did he do? Ah, so here it is. Here it is. What is it in your life, my life, that we've promised God that we would no longer do again, and yet we find ourselves still persisting in that behavior? What is it? This is a good illustration. Not about rain and hail, but more importantly, about sin. You do know. Romans chapter 6, about verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. And not so much physical, but spiritually. Sin destroys. It destroys relationships. It destroys homes. Hey. I heard it said yesterday. It was refreshing to hear it. Amen. Because it's something I've known for some time. You cannot do anything that you think you're big and bad enough to do and not understand and know that you're not the only one that will be affected by it.
Amen.
You heard what he said, right? He said it in verse 27. I've sinned, and I and my people are what? Wicked. That's why in your home, you got to set the right example for your children, for your grandchildren. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, whatever they see you do, they're going to model it. Amen. And that's why they ask these questions. Dad, I thought you said we're not supposed to eat in there. Or you tell them you're going to take them to Peter Piper. And then you don't. And here's what they say. Dad, you said. It's not good to make a promise that you do not intend to keep. And here's really it right here. You know from the very beginning, before the words come out, that you are not intending to do what you said you would do. Now think about that. We're spiritual beings, right? We are spiritual beings. God is spirit, and they who what worship him must worship him what? In spirit and in truth. So why go down on your knees in spirit and in truth and promise God something you know you're not going to do? When he has control over your life and can destroy you. You do know he did tell Pharaoh that he could have destroyed him long ago before these plagues began to befall him. And so it is in our lives. When we do foolish things and we make promises to God, never really focusing on the mere fact, man, God could take me up out of here right now. The hardening of Pharaoh. Here it is. So he hardens his heart. Notice what it says in verse 35. It says, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. He hardened his heart even more. Amen. Really? If you go over to Exodus chapter 10, have mercy, Lord. Actually, the Lord was continuing to harden his heart. It reminds me of this. You don't have to try to get back at your enemy. Let God take care of that. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Here it is right here. Because oft time what happens is this. It destroys your witness. Because we're to demonstrate Christian conduct. I read it. It's in your Bible. Check it out. Galatians. And it talks about our chaste conduct, how we ought to behave. Even though someone may have offended us, may have harmed us, God is aware. Notice Moses' faithfulness. Everything God told him to do, he did. He didn't turn to the left. He didn't turn to the right. He didn't postulate and say, let me see. I know God said, but what if I do it this way? I don't find that in the text. Everything God told Moses to do, he did. God talks about making you and my enemies his footstool, right? Mm-hmm. There are some battles that we don't need, some struggles we don't need to what? Engage in. I think I heard that yesterday. If you at men's conference, I think you heard that in the second, by the second presenter, right? He said, man, I got into some things I really should not have gotten into. To the extent that he says, there's one regret I have. He said, really, I don't live in regret, but this one thing I regret. It is a terrible thing. It's a damaging thing, a spiritually damaging thing. Let me qualify it. It's a spiritually damaging thing to become hardened in your heart towards God. I know it. If anybody in here, hear me well, hear me well. If there's, through your actions, your conduct, your behavior, if you don't feel something absent from you when you know that you are outside the will of God, then I would say that you might want to examine your relationship. There's no way that you can have God's word in you and then know that when you do something outside of what his word teaches, and it doesn't have an effect on you. It's impossible. I wouldn't be able to tell you that if I don't read and try to live and practice the word of God. It's impossible. There's no way you can read the Bible, the scriptures, the holy word of God, and not be changed. Amen. And not be transformed. It's impossible. You can read any other book, get all the facts you want, but it does not challenge your conscience the way the word of God does. So, watch this. Here's what we ought to do. Psalm number 51, verse 17, as we close, reads on this wise, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Literally, what the psalmist is saying here, it's really likened unto 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so much so, Isaiah chapter 43 reads on this wise, verse 25, I even I am he who blots out thy transgressions, and for mine own sake, remember them no more. Confess your sins. Even over in James, he tells us to do what? Confess our faults one to another, that we might be what? Healed. That we might be healed. Notice, healed. That means you have some physical ailment. It's talking about your spirit. So we can do what? Be in fellowship with one another as God would have us to be. Amen. And here it is. Guard your heart, dear my sisters and brothers, guard your heart. Do not allow it to become hardened by sin. That word just keeps coming up because that is it. That's really what causes us to harden our heart, sin. Amen. When you throw caution to the wind and you think that you can do whatever you want to do, you'll mistreat other people. And you'll do things that offend other people. You'll do things that create chaos and confusion. Amen. Here it is, D. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Seek to do good to all men, especially those who are the what? Watch this. Through daily obedience, keep your heart responsive and soft to God. Amen. Do you receive today? That's my time, sisters and brothers. Thank you for your time.